Hello, this is Toni Julian, and I'm the host of Toni Talks, Humanity Matters. Thank you for joining me. This is episode 11, and today we are going to talk about happiness, your happiness, my happiness, and chocolate. I had a client who recently read my book, so she understands some of the traumas I've been through in my life, and she asked me, how can you be happy? And I interpreted it as, how can you possibly be happy given what you've endured, just based on her tone. And she said that when she read the book and some of the things that I've been through, that it made her cry, and she was just so sad for me. And her question was so kind and so sensitive, and I think she was maybe a little bit hesitant to ask me, thinking that maybe she would be violating, you know, my privacy, but she wasn't at all. And I am basically an open book. I will share anything as long as I know it will serve a purpose in helping people. So my intention is not to make people sad, but really to inspire other people to move beyond their sadness so they can find everlasting joy and happiness in their lives. And I think only when people can move past the darkness that holds them back can they blossom and find their purpose. It's like the saying, I don't know if you've seen this or heard this, like the saying, I thought I was buried until I realized I was planted. From the darkness comes growth. So why am I happy? I had to think about it. I had every right to live in despair in my life, to think that life is unfair and ask certain questions. Why did my mom abandon us? Or why did our neighbor terrorize our family? And why did they throw a military-scale tear gas bomb in my bedroom window when I was a child? And why did I experience being so poor? I had to eat 49 cents mac and cheese through college, and I had to steal shampoo from my dad when he wasn't home. Why did I lose my best friend to pancreatic cancer when we were both only 48 years old? Why did my boyfriend cheat on me? I know we probably all can relate to that one. Or a significant others in some capacity, unfortunately. Hopefully not. But is one of the things that I thought about is happiness. Is happiness a current state of being given what is going on in our life at a certain point in time? Is it an emotion that we feel only when everything's going our way? Like it's really easy just to fall into that, to be reactive. Right now, we are in our fifth month of COVID-19 in the United States. We are in our fifth month of sheltering in place with certain things opening up, even though we are still facing this reality of a lot of people contracting COVID-19. I was a little delayed in this podcast because I needed to attend to this very tumultuous time in my family where my 32-year-old daughter actually contracted COVID, and my youngest daughter, who's 21, and I were exposed. So we did experience this feeling of sheltering in place, not only sheltering, but quarantining ourselves, which was kind of a crazy thing. And so, you know, I'm thinking, you know, how do we get through this? You know, do we kind of go through our normal days? And so much of it was just my perspective, my frame of mind, not feeling like, okay, I feel trapped. I could have gone there, but it was like, all right, I've got lots of things I could do at home. I've got plenty of fun work projects I can do. There are certain things I can take advantage of this time while I'm home. So everything worked out fine. My oldest daughter was actually enrolled in the San Jose Police Department Academy, and she had lots of ups and downs because they had started, and then they were told to just shelter in place for a while. They stopped the academy earlier in the year. They were starting it back up again in, I believe, first part of July, mid-July. And unfortunately, because she did have COVID, that she was not able to go. She spent one day in the San Jose PD in the academy because she had tested negative, but then she had additional tests that showed that she was still testing positive even though her symptoms were gone. So she was furloughed, and we were really fortunate in that her symptoms were mild, and the doctors at Stanford believe that's the case because she's extremely fit and strong. So while she's testing positive still, she is doing much better. And what inspired me about this is her happiness through it. Like, I was just feeling like I was not handling this as well as my daughter was. And she's the one that had COVID, and she's the one that has her career on the line, right? So she remained happy. She remained optimistic throughout this. And I was so inspired. And she just had this amazing positive attitude. And she was just like, I'm okay. I said, yeah, you're okay. Fortunately, you're not more sick than you are. And I was thinking, I'm okay. Our daughter's okay. We came through it. We finally tested negative ourselves. We waited 14 days for the test results to come in, which was pretty ridiculous. So that's, you know, that's a downside of what we're going through right now. But I was so inspired by her happiness. And I was thinking, why is she so happy through this? And granted, it was stressful. I'm not saying it wasn't. And she certainly was not sugarcoating her life or just ignoring things that were going around on us. But she has this very innate sense of persevering through life. She's had a hard time in life, just as I have. Things are not easy, and things aren't easy for lots of people, right? But she was able to get through this because she had this inner sense of happiness that regardless of things that were going on around her, she still knew she was okay. She still knew that no matter what, she will be fine through this. And I think maybe, I don't know if you've been through this, I certainly have, but I do way better with black and white. Like if there's an unknown, like with Valerie, my daughter, is she going to be in the academy or is she going to be furloughed for the next 4 months? You know, it's this kind of gray area of the unpredictability of not knowing what's going to happen next with so much riding on it. So now there's this huge financial impact on her. And, you know, what's she going to do with her time? And what can she do to better prepare for the academy when she goes in? And fortunately, they just treated her so beautifully and they wanted her back. They saw the value of her and they said, hey, look, we don't want to lose you. You're coming back. You know, in the November Academy, hopefully they'll be able to do that. So she had this faith and this grounding, which I think is really at the crux of how we deal in this tumultuous world right now, this unpredictability, especially in light of COVID. So I think one of the things I want to talk about today is not just that, but I think for me, what keeps me happy and to kind of answer my very sweet client's question is what is one of the things that makes me feel better about being secure in that happiness and not being reactive to things that are going on and not being like one of the things she said is, wow, you've had all this happen to you and how could you be happy now even though things currently could be not going well or things that happened a long time ago in my life. How could you be happy given all that? So I'm just going to share with you one of my beliefs is that, and this is a belief and I believe very strongly in it. I'm not trying to, you know, shatter your world or your belief system. That's not about that at all or values, but it's just my perspective and something that's helped me is that I have faith in an unseen world. And I'll explain what that means. I have a belief that we are meant to learn from all events in life, and I don't believe our experiences on this earth are designed to beat us down. I do believe that they are designed to elevate us in our life, and we are meant to learn from everything that we go through, whether we consider it a positive experience, a negative experience, a neutral experience. We are just meant to learn from these things. And I believe that we have to experience the dark side to experience the light. We have to experience sadness to know happiness, just like we need to feel pain to appreciate the lack of pain. And as we're getting older and these more little, you know, pains that set in, I appreciate not being in pain when I'm not in pain. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've done this, if you have a cold and you're miserable and your nose is runny and stuffy and you're coughing and you can't breathe through your nose and you're not a good mouth breather like I am not. It's like the minute that cold is gone, do you appreciate being able to breathe out of your nose again? Probably not. Like I don't normally think about it. I only think about it when I have a cold. So I think like the lesson is like appreciate the good things when they're happening, like acknowledge that, right? Appreciate not having a cold all the time. So this client of mine, I think she lost her mother years ago, I think around 13 years ago, and she still feels this deep sense of sadness. And I don't think the missing of a loved one ever goes away, but I have found my own way of softening the blow, which is based on some of my beliefs and my experiences, and my beliefs that are based on my experiences, not just these far-fetched beliefs and things. So I lost my papa almost 3 years ago, in September, and he survived years longer than the doctors ever anticipated, and I had the privilege of spending the majority of those 5 years with him. And when he passed, I was completely devastated, and my biggest fear in life was to lose him. My mom had lived in Mexico for the last 40 years. I think when she was in her early 40s, I was probably, 18-ish or so, and my siblings were younger, and my little brother was about, 11 at the time. She moved to Mexico because she didn't feel like she could live here anymore. I think she thought she would just completely lose it if she stayed. So while it was really difficult for a long time and it put a huge strain on our relationship with her, not all of us, but certainly my relationship with her, it was just a really tough time. And so with my dad, I always felt like he was the remaining parent. He was the one that was always by my side. He was the one that always helped me through things if I needed it. And we were just really close. So when he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, the choice of helping him was not something I ever had to even think about. It was, of course, I'm going to step in. I'm going to help him. We'll go to the doctors. We'll make sure he gets good food. We'll do all these things. We'll help him wrap up his business. And it really was looking at, leaning toward the rock, looking at how do we close up shop for him? How do we help him transition through this last part of his life with grace and with dignity? So that was big on my mind. The first year after he passed was extremely hard, and I was processing this very deep sadness and this loss, especially after him being such a huge part of my life. Like, I saw him pretty much every day, all day, or for at least many, many hours of most days of the week for 5 years. So there was not just this loss of losing this man who I had learned so much from and who had been such an integral part, an important part of my life, but of somebody who had more recently been a part of my everyday. So that was huge for me. It started to get better. I started processing my grief and my sadness. That first year was challenging, and I was looking at managing all of his affairs, and especially as the executor of his trust, and really just kind of digging into the things that needed to be done. But over time, I was realizing that I was becoming clairaudient. Like, I was realizing that when I talked to him, I was feeling like he could hear me. When I went to Fidelity and I wanted to close some of his investments, I went in with the intent of just kind of liquidating everything, because a lot of his investments were in some pretty aggressive growth stocks and things. And when I was there, I just had this sense of knowing, let it ride, let it ride. And I thought, all right, I'm just going to let things ride here. I'm just going to let things go. I'm not going to close it down. But I was able to learn more about his finances and how they were invested, and how aggressive it was and that kind of thing, so I could learn that for later. So I am slowly developing this ability to pick up on thoughts and his feelings, and that I can occasionally connect with people who have passed. So one thing that started happening to me is after he passed, he started coming to me in my dreams to tell me that everything is okay. And one of the hardest things that I had to do is, as he was getting further along and as this disease was progressing, is that at one point, it was very, very close to the end, I was in this position of having to take his keys away so that he could no longer drive. And we had this altercation about it, and I felt very badly about it. But then after he passed, I had this dream that there was a car, and this car started kind of sinking and going into this abyss. And he just looked at me and nodded like, hey, the car thing's okay. And so I had this sense of relief in my dream that he was actually telling me that these disagreements that we had, that things are okay. Things are okay now. Another time I was, you know, I was kind of laying in bed and I had this issue with some nerve pain in my ankles and I wasn't sure why I was having it. But as soon as my dad passed, I started getting this pain in my ankles, into my heels, and it was not plantar fasciitis. This was very different. And even just standing was painful. And so I was just asking my guides, like, what is going on with this pain? What can I do to heal this? What can I do to get rid of this? And I heard the term cold feet. And I thought, oh, maybe I should ice. Well, that makes perfect sense to me because when there's inflammation and you ice, you can cut down on that inflammation and cut down on the pain. And then I heard my father say something, and I'm just going to back up a little bit because it won't make any sense without telling you a little bit of a backstory, which is whenever I went to my dad's house, he would every now and then, he would tease me because he would take me to lunch every day, and I would always order chicken. That is my protein of choice. And he would say, oh, chickens, run, run, here comes Tony. And he'd make these buck, buck, bucking sounds and flap his arms like little chicken wings. And, you know, we would get a good giggle out of that. And then also because I was doing figure competitions, I'm a nutrition coach, you know, doing my best to be healthy, stay lean into my 50s. At that point in time, I was in my mid-50s. I think I was 53 or 54. I just had this really strong desire and still do to be healthy. And so he would try to offer me some biscotti or have some chocolate, have some M&Ms. He had this little red plastic bowl of M&Ms that would sit out for months. And not only did I not want the sugar and I did not want the milk chocolate, I did not want old food sitting out. So it was easy for me to pass on that. But he would always kind of tease me and always entice me to have some chocolate. I'm like, Dad, no, I'm fine. I don't really want any. So as I'm laying there in bed, and after I heard these words, I heard of hearing cold feet, I heard, and I could just visualize this, I heard, daughter, chocolate would be good. And I just laughed because he was making a joke, and that was so his sense of humor. And especially, you know, to call me daughter, who else would it be? And chocolate would be good. I thought, oh, this is hilarious. So I was getting these experiences where I knew for sure that he was not gone. He's not here. He's not here in his body. He's not here to like give me a big hug. He's not here to talk to me in person and experience my day to day. But I just have this knowledge of this unseen world in a way where I realize that, you know, there is more beyond this. And we are truly here to learn life experiences, to help one another out, to feel and to give unconditional love, and know we're here to grow. And if we can find this internal happiness, this sense of contentment, and this faith that I was referring to about my daughter, if she just has this internal happiness that's there all the time, it's not to say we can't ever be sad. That's a definite, solid, justified emotion, but not to live there all the time, like to go through our emotions, process them, but know and have this faith that we're okay. And I think that as long as our emotions are not tied to external events or situations, we can find this space, create this space where we can retreat, where we are inside of ourselves to find that grounding, that balance, and knowing that we're okay. Even when the world around us gets tumultuous and unpredictable as it is right now in month 5 of COVID-19, just to know that we are okay. So that is one thing that I think helps me anyway. I don't know what your beliefs are, but if you are open to even having that understanding of that internal, whether you believe there's more beyond this or not, but just having that internal happiness, this space you can create where you can retreat and just know, am I okay? Yeah, I'm okay. All right, I'm fine. Right? Am I okay right now? Yes, you're okay right now. Okay, you are fine. And we don't need to live in a constant state of unhappiness. The second thing is that I think helps a lot is what I call reframing. And I have a really dear friend, and sadly, she is bedridden with MS. And I think she's probably in at least her fourth year of dealing with some really challenging, situations that came out of this. And I was really sad for some time and feeling completely helpless. So I just kept trying to do things for her. And these were helpful. I mean, everything that I did was not for no purpose. It did help, but I was like doing things like organizing a food delivery with her neighbors and her friends and doing what I could to help. And then I just thought, you know, I need to reframe this. Like, she is so brave and so strong. And I just thought, wow, look how strong and brave she is. Most people I know would have crumbled and thrown in the towel by now. And I'll get text messages for her, just, you know, please pray for me. And I know she's going through seizures, and I know she's going through horrific pain. And I am just so impressed with her. I love her. She's amazing. And she inspires me to make the most out of my life and to do better. And I have the freedom to spend my time however she like and whoever I like. And she has no choice but to endure seizure after seizure and unending pain. So this reframing doesn't hide my feelings. There is sadness there. I acknowledge it and I own it and I process it. But the sadness does not overtake me. It will not stay with me someday when she is no longer on this earth. And I pray that she stays here for a really long time. And in her mind, she is healing and she is doing this. But this reframing has allowed me to experience the sadness, but I can also now experience gratitude and appreciation because of her. I can sit and I can hold her hand and I can be there for her, being sad for her, but also being strong, knowing that she's just so amazing and such an inspiration, that she has not given up, and that she knows that she is here to learn certain things. And I don't know what at this point more that she needs to learn, because, oh my gosh, it's just been so long and unending for her as far as this pain. So I just pray that this pain gets alleviated and that she can move beyond this and get back to a better quality of her life. So because of my reframing situation, my husband kind of caught on to this and he did his own reframing. So his mother in the last couple of months was recently diagnosed with a cognitive decline, and he could have chosen to be really sad about it. Here's this very brilliant woman who was on a team, and she was, I believe, in her 20s where she was part of the team that won a Nobel Peace Prize for her work doing nutrition. And so she's just this brilliant woman. To see this cognitive decline is really really sad and hard for us, and especially my husband. So he said, you know, Tony, he said, I saw what you did with your friend and you reframed the situation. And instead of being sad and going into, just kind of really unfortunate feelings around it and being depressed and feeling sad throughout and enduring this throughout this process, which could take quite some time, right? And we don't have a crystal ball, so we don't know the future. And so he just said that he was inspired because instead of just feeling this sadness, he reframed his perspective and he thought, you know, I just am so proud of my mom for working so hard to stay independent, for having this cognitive decline, for things being hard for her, and her trying to find the tools and hanging in there to be as independent as possible. So that was a wonderful thing. So reframing can really help. And again, it's not burying feelings, it's acknowledging feelings, but really looking at that silver lining, looking at, okay, what is good about this situation? In every situation, even though it may be really hard, good things can come out of it even if you don't see that now. So it's just always wonderful to be on that lookout for what those good things might be. The third aspect of this is being able to step up our nutrition and our fitness. Like, it has so much to do with elevating our feelings of happiness. And we can do that through sleep, through food quality, and from moving our body. And I'll tell you a story of something that happened to me. It was, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 5, 8 years ago, somewhere in there, is that I was getting my normal blood work done from my family practitioner. And he said, you know, Tony, your serotonin levels are just really high. They're just kind of off the charts. And I thought, well, what's the problem with that? And I knew that to be the happiness hormone, right? And so when it came in high, my doctor said, well, he's a little concerned about it because apparently, and I didn't know this at the time, but it can also be an indicator of some undetected malignancy in the body. So I thought, well, gee, that would just be unfortunate. So he wanted me to go through some fasting and some full body scans to see if anything could be detected. And so I spent, I think, a day or two of fasting and then another 3 days of these full body scans at this local hospital. And I was starving. Boy, I do not do well when I don't eat, only drinking clear liquids, right? And vodka was not one of them, but I was like water and broth. And that was it for, I think, 4 or 5 days. So fortunately, it turned out to be that there was absolutely no medical issue. And so then we suspected, I wonder if it's because of the nutrition and the fitness. Like, I literally felt high on life. I truly did. And I know that's a cliche, but because of all the good quality food and keeping my body active and healthy and moving, that I believe it just elevated my serotonin levels. One thing that we need to do is like really take impeccable care of ourselves. And when we're feeling not happy, when we're feeling down, sometimes we just want to curl up into a little ball. But like really, if you just get out, go on a walk, just say, I'm going to go for 10 minutes. You'll find yourself out there for a half hour or an hour. But just like if you can incorporate these walks and get the blood flow, get the energy going in your body, like exercise actually gives you energy. And I know I've said this before, if you've listened to my podcast, it doesn't take away energy. It gives you energy. It puts you in a better mindset. It increases your happiness quotient. So if you can do that, you will feel great. And if you can upgrade the quality of your food, that is another big thing. And I just know from experience, because I have journaled my food, I've measured things, written everything down, done hydrostatic immersion body testing. So I know my body super, super well. And so the eating plans that I've designed are based on eating properly, eating balanced macronutrients. So you get lean protein, complex carbs, healthy fats in every meal, right? You regulate your blood sugar, you start feeling way, way, way better. And when you improve your food quality, you're giving your body, you're nourishing your body with much needed nutrients so it can function and you can feel good and you have the energy, not only that you need, but that you really deserve. So eating healthy is so important. And I've been through, you know, because I eat clean for so long, when I don't, because I am not perfect, of course, but when I don't, when I do something like have a couple glasses of wine or eat something that is unhealthy, eat something with sugar in it, I feel it. Like, it may make me feel good initially, kind of going down and you get that little sugar rush, but it creates a cascade of inflammation and things that go on in your body that last for days and maybe longer. So I know when I do this, how I feel. And when my eating is not spot on, if I'm traveling and it's harder to get the quality of food that I'm accustomed to and that I like and that I know makes me feel good, I feel it. I feel down. I actually feel, you know, depressed is too strong of a word, but I feel down. And so it just makes me wonder, okay, why do I eat that way at all ever? Like, knowing what it does, I know what it does. And some of us are in this state of not depression, again, that's too strong of a word, but kind of feeling down or dampened or, you know, just not as good as we could because we're eating this way all the time. We're incorporating these unhealthy foods into our diet. So if we can really be good and consistent about doing that, we will just do so, so much better. So here's a tip for you about chocolate. It really does boost your mood. If you put 1 tablespoon of unsweetened cocoa powder into your smoothie, or maybe a teaspoon into your morning coffee, dark chocolate stimulates the production of endorphins. So those, of course, are the chemicals in your brain that create feelings of pleasure, those feel-good chemicals. And dark chocolate also contains serotonin, which I was just talking about, which is an antidepressant that can elevate your mood. So just make sure if you are buying, say, powdered dark chocolate, powdered cocoa, that doesn't have anything else in it, no sugars, it's just unsweetened. And then if you're buying, say, a chocolate bar, and I think everybody should do this, especially if you get these little cravings for chocolate, maybe have 1 ounce a day. It's not a lot, but like a little square. And just make sure it's over 70%. So the higher the percentage of that cacao, the less sugar is in it. There's very little sugar in it, actually, if it's really dark chocolate and over 70%. So if you're feeling like that is going to help you and boost your mood, a little bit every now and then can actually make you feel just fine and not put on weight. And just, you know, if you're feeling good, you're going to be up and you're going to be moving. And, you know, anything that you can do to elevate your mood is great. And then the last thing is just recognizing lessons, right? Staying in our happiness zone. Have you ever met somebody that just keeps having the same set of situations that arise and then it throws them into despair? And you just can kind of sit back and you can watch somebody's life and they just never seem happy because they can't seem to find their way out of these same reoccurring issues. And it could be things like relationships, you know, maybe where the other person is unfaithful or that other person doesn't treat you with respect or treats you poorly, or, you know, do we keep picking the same type of person because they're familiar? It's a familiar type of relationship that we're accustomed to, but maybe it's not great for us. Or I've seen situations maybe in business, like a business arrangement that, you know, that keeps going sour. Clients that might turn on you, question your work, and then they won't pay you, and they take them to court, and then they never talk to you again. Like, there are reoccurring themes in people's lives. And I believe that if we don't recognize some of these lessons and these experiences of the same type keep occurring over and over again, I believe it's because we haven't learned whatever lesson is in there for us the first time. And I don't believe these lessons are designed to take us down. I believe there are lessons for us to take something away and learn from. And sometimes it's so easy, and I will totally acknowledge this, it's really easy to see this in other people's lives, right? Like, we can sit back and say, wow, that person, sure, there's sure a lot of drama in that person's lives. Or why are they keep having this problem with these friends? And what is this happening in business? Why do these things continue to happen over and over again? And it's really easy when you're removed to see it. It is much, much harder when it is your life and you are in it. Like, there are probably things that go on in my life that maybe I don't know about because I'm in it. It's really hard to be objective. It's like having to stand back and seeing, like, gee, what is there going on in my experiences or your experiences that are creating us to not be in the state of happiness, like that's bringing us down? And so, is there a common thread in this? And the answer is always yes. And that's the universe trying to tell us something. It's not a scenario that's designed to make us miserable. It's meant to teach us something about ourselves that perhaps we're refusing to acknowledge or to learn. And I joke about this. I've said this all my life, but I'm always serious, is that if I don't get something the first time, God will slap me upside the head again and again until I get it right. It's something that will just keep on coming back because there is a lesson in it for us, right? So there's a very pragmatic way at looking at these things, and it's really stepping aside and evaluating these situations with our ego aside and candidly, honestly, looking at how we contributed to the situation that resulted in a loss of our happiness. So I hope that all of this has helped you and that you have taken away maybe a few things, some little nuggets that help you boost your happiness. I know through all of this, you know, all this sheltering in place and with COVID-19, that we are being tested, right? We are so being tested. Our patience is being tested. And I think that right now that people's happiness and their stability and their grounding is really being tested. And if you go through the grocery stores, I've seen this so many times, people just emotions are flaring up. People are being more emotional. And we just need to, I just believe, like, have that compassion in your heart, have that tolerance, have that patience, have that unconditional love for someone, even if they're being snarky, even if they're having a bit of a salty time, even if they've lost their cool, lost it on you, lost it on somebody else. Like, let's not judge where they are. They are going through something themselves, and we are all here to help elevate people, help support people. The more that you and I can be calm, the more that you and I can be accepting, like, those feelings are contagious. And if we can be calm, we can instill a sense of calm around us and just, you know, work through this. COVID won't be here forever. We will all get through this. I am confident of that. So in the meantime, please take impeccable care of yourself. Please get your sleep. Please get your healthy, high-quality food. Please keep on moving. And please be patient and kind and heart-centered and have that space where you can retreat, where the world around us can be a little unstable. Okay? So anyway, thank you for listening. I hope all this helps. I hope you and your family stay safe and stay healthy. And be sure to subscribe and check out lots of good information on my website at tonyjulian.com. I've got podcasts, blogs, recipes, resources, and my Tony's protein meals to keep you healthy and strong. So from my heart to yours, I love you. Until next time.